We're in the middle of a series on the parables of Jesus. If you happen to have been here a couple of weeks ago, you might remember that the Greek word for parable is parabole, and it means to place one thing next to another thing. So in the parables, Jesus tells a story of something that we know and lays it aside something that we don't know. In this case, wise and foolish builders and our spiritual lives. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Let's listen to God's word to us today. Jesus says, "Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it did not fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell and was completely destroyed." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he was teaching them like someone with authority and not like their legal experts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So according to my sister Anne, there are two kinds of houses in Florida. There are wood frame houses, and there are concrete block houses. The wood frame houses, of course, are much less structurally sound than the concrete block houses. So the wood houses, when a hurricane comes, live out Jesus's words. The rains fall, the floods come, and the winds blow and beat against these houses, and they fall and are completely destroyed. Now, she lives on the east coast of Florida and works in insurance, so she adds that the premiums for these houses are much, much higher than the concrete block houses. The concrete block houses, however, when the hurricanes come, are much more likely to live into Jesus' words that the rains fall and the floods come and the winds blow and beat against these houses, and they did not fall. Now, of course, in Jesus' parable, he wasn't talking about concrete houses and sand. He wasn't talking about concrete houses and wood-framed houses. He was talking about houses built on bedrock and houses built on sand. Of course, the ones on sand were much less likely to make it, and the ones on bedrock were much likely to have lower insurance premiums. And Jesus uses this parable to tell us what happens in our spiritual lives when the storms come. Jesus says, some houses, some lives, survive storms better than others. Now, there are all sorts of storms that might hit our lives. I'm sure if we passed around a piece of paper, we could get at least as many storms as there are people here. In the Wednesday Women's Bible Study, we talked about what some of the storms that might come might be. Someone mentioned how there's a much higher incidence of cancer among the 9/11 first responders than there is in the general population. Another person talked about how people are sometimes falsely imprisoned, often people of color, and how those are storms. Other people mentioned divorce, they mentioned wars, they mentioned family problems, the death of a child, terrible accidents. The storms come. The good news of the book of Isaiah that you heard Amanda sing, the good news is that Isaiah tells us that when these storms come, God is with us. Here's the way the prophet puts it. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you." God is with you no matter how high the flames get, no matter how hot the flames, the fires roar, the waters won't overwhelm you, Isaiah says. Well, try telling that to the foolish builder whose house was wiped away. That's the big difference between this passage from Isaiah and the passage from Matthew. Isaiah is confident that God is with us, and he's a little more confident than Jesus that our houses are going to survive no matter what. Jesus is a little more nuanced, maybe a little more realistic. Jesus knows that sometimes the floods do overwhelm our spiritual lives. Sometimes the fires do burn our spiritual lives. See, Jesus knows, and I think we know, that some houses pass through storms better than others. Sometimes it's one person and different storms at the same time. Sometimes they impact us more than others. Sometimes one of our parents dies and we handle it just fine. Sometimes another parent dies and we are wrecked for months. Sometimes it's the same storm that hits two families at the same time. Maybe it's two peers at a company who are both laid off. And sometimes one person is devastated spiritually, and sometimes another is fairly resilient. Jesus says that some people go through storms better than others. So it makes me wonder what it is that helps people go through the storms better than the others. I posted a question on our church's Facebook page and asked you to respond, and respond you did. The question was, what are some examples of sand that we build our houses on? What are some examples of things that don't hold up when the storms came? And you all had lots of different answers. You said things like youth sports, where victory is valued over everything else. You said trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to look good to everybody else, trying to please everybody else. Some of you said wealth. Some of you said status. Some of you said privilege. One person said social media, which I thought was ironic since we were having the conversation on Facebook. It made me wonder whether that person was more disappointed with themselves or with me. But in any event, there are lots of different things that we can build our houses on that won't hold up in the storm. But then I read the parable more closely this week, and I discovered that I didn't need to ask that question at all in the first place. I mean, I think it's true. I think if we try to build our houses on status, we're going to have problems. But we don't have to try to guess what the sand is, because Jesus tells us what the sand is. Look more closely at your bulletin, at that passage in it. And you'll see that there are so many things the same. The storms come to both, the houses are there for both. But the big difference is that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built his house on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The difference between the two is whether we put Jesus' words into action or not. And maybe you're like me. I assumed before digging into this parable more closely that the person who built their house on the rock was a Christian, and the person who built their house on the sand was not a Christian. But as I read it more closely, and I was convinced by one of my favorite commentators, Dale Bruner, and here's what he had to say. He said, the two houses is about two kinds of Christians. Not about Christians and non-Christians. He says both are listening to Jesus's words. The house that crashes is the house of Christians who find Jesus' words important enough to hear, but not realistic enough to live. So if we put Jesus' words in conversation with Isaiah's words, I think what we learn is that no matter when the storms come, God is with us. That's grace. That's what Isaiah assures us. We don't have to earn God's presence. We don't have to deserve God's presence. God is with us. But whether our house falls down when the storms come is much more a function of whether or not we have put Jesus's words into action, whether or not we've been practicing up our faith, so that when hard times come, we are ready. Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want you to come away thinking that when we put Jesus' words into action, that means that the storms won't come. This is not a parable about how putting Jesus' words into action mean that the storms will never hit us. That is not what the parable says. The parable says that when the storms come, the people who have practiced their faith day in and day out are more likely to have spiritual lives which are more resilient than those who have not. The people who have been putting their faith into action are more likely to find hope and find courage and find inspiration when the storms come than those who have heard the word but not put it into practice. See, the thing is, putting our faith into practice deepens our faith and strengthens our faith and helps us to have a closer resilience and reliance on Jesus Christ. That way, when the storms come, we are more ready. It's like the old saying about foxhole Christians, right? Foxhole Christians are people that are praying when the shots start getting fired their way. Now, God is with foxhole Christians for sure. God hears their prayers. But my sense is that a soldier who has been putting Jesus' words into action day in, year out, will have a different experience in the foxhole when the shots start coming. If they both get shot, because again, our faith doesn't keep us from getting shot, but if putting our faith into action when they both get shot, the person who's a foxhole Christian might have a rougher time in an aftermath than the one who has been putting her faith into action all along the way. Putting words into action make a difference. I learned that from my sister Anne too. I was asking her what she has to do during hurricane season to get ready, and she said during hurricane season, when it's on its way, so before hurricane season starts, you've got to take all of your coconuts off of your palm trees, because coconuts become cannonballs in the wind. Not a problem we have here in Chicago, but she says you got to take off your coconuts off your trees, and any loose palm fronds you need to take down, because palm fronds become missiles in high enough wind. And then she says that when there's actually a hurricane on its way to your area, of course you have to take everything from outside your house and put it inside your house. And she said you start putting up boards over your windows, and she said it's a hassle, but it makes sure that you survive. Now, Anne's a go-getter, and I can imagine that she could become the hurricane prevention coordinator for her neighborhood. And I can imagine her sending an email out at the beginning of hurricane season saying, hey, this is what you have to do to get ready. And I can imagine her sending an email out when one is forecast to come their way saying, hey, this is what you have to do. And let's just pretend that everyone in her neighborhood reads her email. That might be the most far-fetched part of this scenario, but let's just pretend that everyone actually reads the email that she sends. But that the person on her left doesn't do anything she says, and the person on her right does everything she says. Which house is more likely to survive? Now, Jesus didn't send us any emails, but he did give us words to follow. In fact, this passage that we're focusing on today is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, the very end of the longest passage that Jesus says, the most words that Jesus gives, the most words to follow in the whole Gospel of Matthew. And here are some of the words, just some of them that he says, following will help our houses to stand. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, let them strike the other cheek too. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Don't judge so that you may not be judged. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Putting these words into practice, Jesus says, will help our house to survive in a storm. Because as we talked about, some houses last a lot longer in a storm than others. That's true both figuratively and literally. Last fall, Hurricane Michael came through Mexico Beach in Florida. And I saw an aerial photo of it, and it was amazing. There was almost total destruction. There were dozens of houses' foundations on the ground without anything left of the houses, so their contents and their materials had been strewn for miles around. There were hardly any trees left. You couldn't even tell where the streets were. I mean, the path of destruction was almost complete. Almost complete because there was one house still standing. Right on the beach. Did any of you see this? There was one house still standing right on the beach, and its gray roof was still intact, and its tan porches that went the entire length of the second floor and the third floor were still there. The aqua-colored window panes were still there, and all of the windows, even the big picture window that overlooked the beach, they were all still intact. There was an interview with the owners of the house on CNN, and they asked them how it was that their house had lasted when everyone else's had been blown away. I mean, it looked as if this house must have been airlifted in after the storm because it was so pristine and everything else was completely wiped out. Well, the owner said that they looked at what the code was for building, but instead of just meeting the code, they decided to go over and above in every way that they could. So if the pilings needed to be 20 feet deep, they put them 40 feet deep. They said the code said that the house needed to withstand 120 mile per hour winds, so they built for 240 mile per hour winds. They told their architects that they wanted what they called a hurricane house. A hurricane house, they said, is one that will last no matter what happens when the big one comes. And so the interview with CNN, they were talking about the conversation they had with their engineers, with their architects. And one of the owners said, "I could have built a balcony on the east side of the house, but the engineer said, I thought you wanted a hurricane house. So we changed that plan. We wanted more overhang up on the roof, but he said, I thought you wanted a hurricane house. So we did what he said." I feel like I can hear Jesus' words to us. I thought you wanted a hurricane house. So when I complain and say, it's too hard to turn the other cheek, Jesus, I can hear him say, I thought you wanted a hurricane house. When we say it's hard enough to love our families, let alone our enemies, Jesus says, well, I thought you wanted a hurricane house. And when we say it's just too easy to judge other people, Jesus comes back with, I thought you wanted a hurricane house. When the rains come down and the floods come up and the winds start to beat, I want a hurricane house. Don't you? So let us pray. Oh God, we want our spiritual lives to be resilient when the storms come. We want to feel connected to you. We want to have hope. We want to have courage. We want to have patience. Lord, when the storms come, we don't want our houses to blow over. And so, Holy Spirit, strengthen us that we would follow Jesus' words. The words from the Sermon on the Mount, sure, but every other word too. Help us to put our faith in practice. Lord Jesus, we want hurricane houses. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, amen.